A 1930 New York Times review for The Silent Enemy called the film engrossing, sincere, authentic, and amazingly photographed. Virginia's Harry P. Carver directed the production about hunger and the Ojibwe in Northern Ontario.
The film itself is, I mean, it's really, you know, just an amazing film because it's real.
Brad Brown is assistant chief of the Pamunkey Indian Tribe and the director of Pocahontas Reframed, the Native American Storytellers Film Festival. When this silent film screens in Richmond, musician Michael Britt will perform the original score on the Bird Theater's Wurlitzer.
There's this notion of transmotion.
Peter Kirkpatrick is co-founder of the French Film Festival and teaches a class at VCU on Native American film.
Some of the energy, some of the filming that you see in this film from the late 1920s, it's very specific to Native American filmmaking already. And that type of using the camera, that type of editing, that type of especially performance amongst the actors is already defined in that early part of the history of cinema, and it's something that has just flourished, especially since the 1990s and just in the last, really the last 15, 20 years.
Come on, baby, come on.
No.
Out of this world. Out of this world.
The festival includes more than a dozen films. Another classic is The Exiles. The 1961 movie took 3 years to make. It was rediscovered about a decade ago.
I always wanted to go get away from my people there and all that, and go someplace where somebody will make me feel different, be happier.
The film was shot in Los Angeles's Bunker Hill in the years before it was demolished. It examines what it was like for young people in the 1950s and 60s when the U.S. government encouraged American Indians to leave reservations.
Where's Wendy Bill?
That little fella right over there.
I'd like to challenge Wendy Bill.
You bring it on, cowboy!
The documentaries Real Injun and Pocahontas Beyond the Myth give viewers an opportunity to rethink common but inaccurate portrayals of American Indians.
For so long, you probably thought that Indians never had a sense of humor. No. We never thought you were too funny either.
Brown and Kirkpatrick say dispelling stereotypes is one goal. Another is getting people to look at things from a new vantage point.
There's a lot of people that live in Virginia that don't know that there are still Indians here. You know, there are two reservations and 11 tribes in Virginia, and a lot of people don't know that. So that's part of the conversation.
Another aspect of the conversation is also how we, as human beings, how we perceive the world around us. And in the case of film, since it is the Native American Storytellers Film Festival as well, it's also about how we perceive and come to understand and come in contact with, through film, other ways of perceiving the world, imagining the world. And as a professor of film studies at Virginia Commonwealth University and teaching Native American cinema, it's my students have just discovered this new way, not only of cinema, but a new way of understanding themselves, the world around them.
Kirkpatrick says scholars have divided film in two categories. The first cinema is commercial, like the big Hollywood movies. The second is avant-garde. The third is post-colonial, filmmakers responding to injustice. A new category, the third eye or the fourth cinema, he says was created because of the work of Native American filmmakers.
And Native American filmmakers have actually, because of their creativity and storytelling, not only the oral tradition, but now the visual tradition. They have their own sovereignty and agency in the way they tell stories. So this creates a whole new space, a whole new understanding of time. And it allows us as viewers to also check who we are in life and what we've done, who we've come into contact with. And as Brad has mentioned, this festival is actually going back to have a conversation that unfortunately never took place in 1607.
In 1613, Pocahontas becomes the colony's unlikely savior. She's visiting the nearby Potawatomi tribe when her Indian hosts, threatened with war by an English ship captain, lure her onto his vessel and betray her.
Pocahontas Behind the Myth. This is a very important film for Pamunkeys.
Yes. Yeah. This film was made by the Smithsonian, and it explores really who Pocahontas was. There's so many misconceptions about her. Was she a hero? Was she a traitor? Was she a captive? Was she kidnapped? It's hard to tell. She was Pamunkey, and she didn't live very long. She married John Rolfe and moved to England, had one child, and she died shortly after that. So the Smithsonian, they do a great job, obviously, on the film, and it really does kind of deal with all the misconceptions about her, especially from most people think of the Disney story of her and John Smith falling in love and, all of that. And none of that is true. She was 11 years old when she met John Smith, so it wasn't a romance.
A number of new feature and documentary films will also be screened.
There was a song came on the radio, a guitar instrumental, and it changed everything.
The award-winning Rumble, The Indians Who Rocked the World, examines Native Americans' overlooked contributions to music, like guitarist Link Wray and singer-songwriter Buffy St. Marie.
There was this key expression, be proud you're an Indian, but be careful who you tell.
All of a sudden, I was talking about Native American issues and big-time television. And all of a sudden, everything disappeared.
This prophecy called the time of the seventh fire. We're told that we have a choice between two paths.
First Daughter and the Black Snake follows acclaimed writer and activist Winona LaDuke as she led an effort to stop an oil pipeline in Minnesota.
We're in a situation which is kind of called extreme. It's extreme behavior. That's when you no longer want conventional oil, and instead you want to go get oil from the tar sands in Canada.
Brad Brown says it's the backstory to the massive Standing Rock protests in South Dakota in 2016.
Her name, Winona, is Ojibwe for First Daughter. And the Black Snake is the oil pipeline or the oil trains. And so it goes back to a story, the Seventh Fire, which was a dream about that there are going to be two paths. One is going to be a green path and one is going to the future, and one is going to be a dark black path. And that kind of the oil represents the black path, and the going the environmentally sound way is the green path, and that's the path to the future. So it's a story about that.
What do you want from me, Juniper? You want me to break down, fall to the ground?
One day of the festival is focusing on Native American women, their experiences, their stories, their work as filmmakers. Features include Kissed by Lightning and Every Emotion Counts.
We are never going to understand each other.
No, so we're not.
Come on, girls. Let's calm down, eh?
The festival is also bringing Native American performers to Richmond, including the comedy group The 1491s, Mohawk singer-songwriter Elizabeth Hill, and Oglala Sioux and Navajo hip-hop artist Netani Means, son of Russell Means.
Who went to Wounded Knee to get their hearts buried? Raised a hustle once I see my mama struggle. Born in the heart where our chiefs bled, where the water tastes like lead.
We're still here. I think that's one of the stories that we want to tell, is that Native Americans are still here. We don't live in teepees. We don't smoke peace pipes, at least I don't. And we're in the community. We're teachers and lawyers and doctors and filmmakers. And I think part of the purpose is educational and cultural. And it's also entertainment. We really want people to come to the festival and enjoy the films and see that there are some really great films that aren't being shown in the big theaters on Friday night. And that's really a lot of what we're trying to do, is just expose these filmmakers and directors and actors, actresses, to the public, so they can enjoy it.
Pocahontas Reframed takes place November 17th through the 19th at the Byrd Theater in Richmond. It will be free for the first few years. Organizers hope it becomes the premier Native American film festival on the East Coast. For Virginia Currents, I'm Catherine Comp, WCVE News.